Welcome to the At Leisure Podcast. This is a show about sports, video games, movies, and just basically the things we do with our leisure time. This week, we're talking college basketball with two of our usual guests, Ashton and Brady. What's up, guys?
What's going on?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm good. Before we jump into it, as always, there's time codes below, but it's March Madness time. What do y'all love most about this time of year?
Man, I'm just excited for it again. Just like almost 24, not 24 hours a day, but like wake up to go to sleep. Like just constant. Like I can flip the channel. There's a game going on that's about to end. Flip the channel. Just constantly. Yeah. Like once one ends, there's another one.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I'm going to be trying to find as many screens as I can to just have them all going in my place, or may even go to someone else's place that does have all the screens. I'm excited to see them all and just the madness, ready for it to start.
Man, I'm with y'all. And like my best memories of this tournament every year is just like going, hanging with friends, pulling up four TVs, watching all the games at once. And there's always something crazy happening, always something crazy. Ashton, you and me, we talked about it in the last March Madness podcast, but we've gone to a lot of these games now, and every time it's a good time. Even when the teams are getting blown out, man, it's just fun to like learn these players, see the skill.
Well, that's how you just see stuff and learn about them, like Creighton this year, like their whole team we saw as freshmen in the tournament. Like
exactly.
If Colt Brenner doesn't get hurt, which is he's a monster now. It was like, well, if that big white guy doesn't get hurt, they might beat Kansas. And now he's like he's an All-American, you know, and stuff. Like, it's crazy.
It's really cool. And then you see the one and dones, but you also see these guys that are like, they're so skilled, but they, just by the nature of the sport, they're limited by like their physical size or like physical traits, but they're still so good and they've stayed in college, and it just kind of highlights them, even though they're likely never to play in the NBA, but these are the guys that are dominating this tournament, you know, and it's cool to watch them just pop off on the national stage. You know, people are learning these guys' names that they'll forget eventually, but at the time, you know, they're like household names. Like we can all remember well, maybe I don't remember his name, but I remember the Loyola Chicago team.
That's who's coming to my mind. That's the big guy.
Is it Crum? Crum, right?
Krutwig, I think.
Krutwig.
We saw him as a freshman, me and Brett. Yeah. It was like this fat, big guy is just wearing people out. And he wasn't even the best player, but then like we don't hear about Loyola Chicago after that. But then like 3 years later, they're back in the tournament, and he's a monster.
Still going. You know?
But yeah, that was who came to my mind too. It was him.
Exactly. And it's so fun. And I love that about the tournament. And man, the nature of a single elimination tournament produces the highest pressured situations in sports. And it's just nonstop. I don't know. I think that lends to like force feeding you. Like there's always games on TV, but it's force feeding you every emotion that sports in general can create. You know, it's like you want to see a team just absolutely crack under pressure. You're going to see, you know, a high seed lose to a low seed. You want to see a team just rise up, or maybe some guy just pop off and just have the moment of his life. And, you know, the stands are chanting his name, you know, that's going to be there. You're going to see like just everything that sports can do is just in this pressure packed couple of weeks. It's so much fun. It's so much fun.
Yeah. And something cool about this is since there's no true like home court advantage, there's always the chance of like a neutral site game. You're the high seeds letting the low seed hang around. And I was listening to a former player talk, and he was like, he went to North Carolina and he said, we're the one seed and everyone wants us to lose. And so it's a 4-point game. We're up, but everyone is cheering for the other team now. And so they have home court advantage now because everyone wants to see the upset. And it's like in that moment, he said he knew everyone in there just wanted us to lose. And so it makes the pressure even that much more intense. And I thought that was a pretty cool aspect that like you might not always think about. You just assume, well, they're the high seed. They probably have a lot of fans traveling to the game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's them versus everyone in that moment.
He was saying, I was like, unless you're a fan of that team, like, yeah, it seems like everybody, because I was thinking, I guess it was Loyola Chicago. Like they had they came back on Miami at a game me and Brett went to, and like just the whole crowd's going nuts and Loyola, it's like, you can tell they all got like their Hogwarts scarves on
like
or whatever.
Scarves,
at the time we were like, who the heck is this school? You know, it's like it's before they were like Big Tom, you know. It's like, who are these people walking
they're
around scarves
around,
and
around Sister Jean?
It's 80 degrees in Dallas, Texas, and they got scarves on, you know, or whatever. But
my favorite part was like they had that old lady, Sister Jean, and she was like their mascot.
She's still kicking.
And like everyone around, isn't it crazy? But oh man, that, yeah, you're right. That's also like random stories arise and it just kind of elevates the sport too. And it's weird for like the high seeds. It almost feels like their advantages come later in the tournament because you can like more move them towards their locations, you know. Mm-hmm. But those first few rounds are pretty random sometimes. Like you said, you just get home crowds for the smaller seeds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And some of those small seeds, they don't know what to do because they never played in front of a crowd that big. That's all cheering for them anyways.
Sure.
And so there's just a lot of dynamics happening that don't happen in other sports, really.
Yeah. What other sport do you elevate from a high school size gym to, 15,000 people chanting for you? Mm-hmm. So cool. Y'all have any favorite memories of like past tournaments? Or I know me and Ashton have reminisced a little bit, but anything you know, want to rehash before we jump into this tournament specifically? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, first time I remember the tournament is old Gordon Hayward missing the buzzer beater at the end of the championship game, where a half-court shot hits the backboard, bounces off the front of the rim. And I remember watching it with my dad, and I was like, wow, that was really fun, even though that game, I didn't care between those two teams winning. That was a really good time. And then after that, I watched it every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, being a Tech fan, obviously we have the one time we ever went to the national championship. Just following that story unfold, and whenever Tariq Owens goes down against Michigan State, he rolled his ankle and he has to go back, and then he comes sprinting out from the back, and the crowd just erupts. And
just we go chills. In
and I was gonna say, we're playing against Michigan State, and we just went in and finished the job and made our way to the national championship. It was just
he was a big electric. Part of it.
Yeah, I was talking with you about this the other day, and he's not the best player we've ever had, but he's the guy that I consistently every year am like, I wish we had Tariq Owens on this team, because everything he did is just what you need in college basketball, really.
Yeah, I'd say thinking back, like probably Jimmer Fredette is one that stands out. I just watched him crank him out from way out there. And I was looking this up.
Like Steph before Steph.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I looked it up a couple months ago. I didn't realize, but like Hillman, like it was BYU and San Diego State every year. Like with that him and the other team, I didn't realize it was Kawhi that he was going at it against. Like that's what he was going at it with. Yeah, San Diego State. I didn't realize that. But like you don't even realize that until you look back on it. Like, oh crap, that was that was Kawhi. I had no clue that's what he was going up against.
Superstar.
Yeah. I know. It was, yeah.
And everyone's watching Jimmy Fournette. That's another thing that's great about this tournament. It's like there's future NBA
college
players
superstar.
And we're all watching Jimmy Fournette.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously for me, I think I even brought it up in our last episode when Ashton, when we went to the tournament in Dallas and Tech played there, that whole stadium was just like, I felt like we had the advantage, and we did because it was full of Red Raider fans. And when we played and Zaire Smith threw down that 360 dunk and the stadium erupted so loud, it was like a top 10 sports moment for me. So I always think about like, man, I can't wait for like more moments like that. And every school has moments like that. And that's what makes it so cool.
No, for sure. And I'll say one last one that I'm remembering as you bring that up. Like when I was younger, me and my dad went to the Sweet 16 Elite Eight in Houston.
Yeah.
And it was like Memphis and Derrick Rose when they were undefeated. Texas, the Lopez brothers at Stanford. So Brooke Lopez and Robin Lopez and Michigan State. And it might have been Draymond. I might be lying there. I don't know 100% if it was Draymond. But, like, it was Michigan State, Memphis, Texas, and Stanford. But it just, like, stands out in my mind because that was the Memphis team that went undefeated almost, you know, and almost won it all.
Again, big names. That's a little different than it used to be. I feel like you're only going to see a few, like, NBA players in this tournament, whereas used to, it was pretty full of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's jump into this tournament, though. So, every year there's Cinderellas. Who should people be looking out for? If you were a betting man, who would you put your money on and get a return on investment?
So Cinderella, we're talking probably double digit seeds. Is that fair here?
I mean, if you have someone else, like a 9 seed would be
okay,
all right.
Okay.
I'm definitely picking a double digit seed.
Well, one that came to my mind was, I think the winner of Boise State and Colorado actually got a pretty good path here. Because, well, Boise State, looking at them, they beat St. Mary's, I guess, in the non-conference, which I didn't realize that, but pretty good win there. And then Colorado, they, I don't know, they're kind of hit and miss. Like, when I've watched them play, they look like they should be a lot better than they probably are. Like they should, like they look super talented, you know, but like,
yeah,
they've kind of been up and down. I didn't realize the big TCU guy played for them, Lampkin, the big man for TCU.
Oh, I didn't realize
he played
either.
For Colorado. Yeah. So he plays for them. They also got like apparently a lottery pick and then a couple other guys that are pretty good. But either way, I think the winner of that can beat Florida because I don't know how good the SEC is as a whole. All and right. then after that, they'd get Marquette. So that's without Tyler Kolek or with him, you know what I mean? Without their best player, mm-hmm. I think they can take him, whether he's there 100% or not. You know, I think they can beat them. And then that'd probably get on Kentucky, most likely. And that would put them in the Sweet 16. I don't know if they can beat Kentucky or not, but I think they can make it there, no matter if it's Boise or Colorado, really. I think either one of them can make a run there.
I think Kentucky's a tough draw for them, but mm-hmm. anything mm-hmm. can happen.
Yeah, I'd probably go with Oregon. I know they're a big name school, but they're an 11 seed this year, and they had their ups and downs throughout the season. Like mostly most teams, mostly downs. But mm-hmm. like most teams, they had their struggles with injuries, and they just couldn't get past that very, very well. But they got healthy for the tournament, the Pac-12 tournament, and they made a run and got themselves into the big tournament. And I don't know, I think they hit their stride at the right time. Their first game is against South Carolina, who personally I'm not that impressed with South Carolina, but I just think Oregon will be able to ride their hot hand through that. And then they have Creighton, which they have a lot of shooters, but they also have their big guy, and Oregon has, I don't really know how to say his first name, Infali Dante, but I think he'll be able to battle in there and give them the advantage on the boards down low. And I think their athletes will be able to stick with these Creighton guards. And I don't know. I think that's the path that I see for them to probably end up facing Tennessee in the Sweet 16.
It's a good pick. I kind of hope I'm worried about Oregon just because the only reason they're in the tournament is because they won their Pac-12 tournament. And mm-hmm. it's kind of the same team, same way for NC State, who Tech is playing. And I'm hoping that that momentum is not a real thing. And that, you know, like, hopefully they're just tired, but
I think it differs from situation. But for Oregon, since theirs is, they just got back to being healthy. Yeah. I think that it's a little different story from who we got, where they've been healthy. They just hit a hot streak.
Y'all are picking on the SEC too. South Carolina, Kentucky, Florida, all going down. Some football bias. You're like, nah, they can't have basketball.
You know, can't have everything.
Well, I'm going to pick McNeese State. And that is a team that I did not know existed until this year. But I'd seen some buzz around their coach last year who got hired. And he, in his press conference, said, we're going to have the fastest turnaround. We're going to go from a team with 23 losses to 23 wins next year. Well, he went up that. They won 31 games this year and only lost three. That is an insane turn. It's the greatest turnaround in tournament history. And so, one, I think that does a lot of like confidence for them. Like, hey, we're the team of destiny kind of thing. And then also, their matchups were so favorable for them. So, McNeese State is a quick transition team whose weakness is the three ball. Like, they give up the most threes. Their three defense is terrible. But everything else, they do really well. Guess who they play? Gonzaga, who is ranked 310th in three-point rate. And then if they beat Gonzaga, they get probably Kansas next, who is ranked 334th in three-point rate. So not only do they have a good matchup with those teams, they get Gonzaga, who's probably, honestly, I think Gonzaga has got one of the worst teams. And so does Kansas. I think both of these teams who are like historically good are on their back foot this year. Mm-hmm. And the thing that they do worse is the thing that could actually hurt McNeese State. And since they're not good at it, I don't know if they can exploit that weakness. And then I think McNeese State can just play fast and kind of play with house money. So if I was putting money down, I would put it on McNeese State. And I think that's a cool story, hopefully. Although I think their coach got investigated
That's the LSU coach that got fired, I think, paying his players.
Yeah, that's why I heard about it.
He was 1 year too late or whatever, you know. So.
Exactly. Like, everyone's paying now. So, like, and I think he was exonerated. So, like, did he even do it? Yeah. I mean, who knows? Yeah.
Who cares? SEC school. You know?
They're probably regretting that they had to get rid of him now.
Oh, for sure.
True.
Apparently, he's a good coach. or a good recruiter. Yep. Or
just gotta ride that out. He's got some deep pockets. I figure. I guess he's the one that got is it Ben Simmons. Probably. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I mean, they sucked. I guess when he was there, but
yeah,
he got him there though. So
I don't know, but if I think that they've got a good path, and then from there, who knows what'll happen? I mean,
Purdue, maybe.
Sure. Oh, or, man. Sorry. Is it Purdue? Purdue?
Could be the 16 seed, but yeah, or Purdue.
Oh, my gosh. And it okay, and then they have Purdue, who is notorious for not making it very far into the tournament. I mean, last year they lost to they were the 1 seed, and they lost to the 16 seed for only the second time ever. So, like.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good
path. Boy, they might have a spot here.
Then you got Virginia in the lead 8. I mean, it's good.
Virginia. That joke is funny. If you know the tournament, the Virginia's a 10 seed. There's no there. But Virginia was the other team that lost to the 16 seed before Purdue.
Oh, they are too. I wasn't even thinking about that. Yeah. I was just talking about this year. But yeah.
All right. So we got our Cinderellas picked. I say, actually, do y'all have any like stories in this tournament that you're interested in? Like, I think there's always some fun stories to talk about. When it comes to this tournament before you even start. So y'all got anything?
So in the Midwest bracket, you have Texas and Tennessee, which if they both win their first matchup, they'll face each other in the round of 32. And I think that could be a pretty cool story because it's going to be Rick Barnes, who was the former Texas coach, who was let go for not having much success getting to the tournament or in the tournament. And so I just think that it would be kind of ironic for Texas, who has now struggled either with their games in the tournament or getting to the tournament, to get knocked out by Tennessee. So I think that's just a storyline to watch and see if Rick Barnes has any hard feelings or not. Sorry, Ashton.
That's okay. Yeah, if we can get there, I'll be happy. So
he's like, first round, baby, let's go.
No more Shaka.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see what Shaka does at Marquette.
That was part of why I had my Cinderella. I knew they were going to play Shaka, so that's an automatic W. Yeah. So
notorious choker in the playoffs also.
let's see. For mine, I was going to say in the East, if Drake can beat Washington State, they'll probably get Iowa State in the second round. And Drake is from Iowa, so their school's from Iowa. And Iowa itself isn't in the tournament, so that's kind of like the battle for Iowa supremacy there, you know, Drake versus Iowa State. So, and like we talked about earlier, most of the fans are probably going to be on Drake's side. So if they can beat Washington State, that is. But that'd be an interesting matchup, I think, with DeVries and Iowa State.
That is interesting. I honestly, before you said it, I did not know Drake was in Iowa State.
Iowa, yeah.
Or in Iowa, yeah.
Sometimes you get some schools that you wouldn't think are there, and then they are, you know.
I must have been named after
East Coast school, you know.
Yeah, same. There's so many East Coast schools, I just assumed. So Iowa is just not where I would have guessed.
No, I'm with you. Yeah, there's some surprising ones that don't really make sense, but
I'm like, that must have been a founder, you know.
Yeah, got to be named after somebody. Rawson, I don't know.
For me, I've kind of been reading about the A&M Nebraska situation. So have y'all heard that Nebraska's AD, who is like loved there, his name's on the stadium. He is just like, he was bringing them out. He had the Matt Rhule hire. He was bringing them out of like some dark ages. He just got poached by Texas A&M and is now the Texas A&M AD. And so, man, they are like, take his name off the stadium. We hate this guy now. And then I think it's funny that with all that, I was like, okay, well, there's no connections there anymore. They're not in the Big 12 together. They're never going to play each other on the field. The animosity is going to die down. And then immediately they get picked to play each other in the tournament. And then they get picked the same for the girls. So they're literally playing in both the girls and men's tournament, Nebraska A&M. I think that's going to create an atmosphere, at least online, is going to create an atmosphere of just absolute trash talk and animosity, and I'm here for it. So just kind of a funny coincidence, really. Or the committee pulling a fast one, and they're like, this will be fun. Yeah, let's do this.
Sometimes they seem to do that.
Which and I then, like. If there's some juicy.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Well, that's why I don't like that they always put like the good mid-majors against the good mid-majors that are actually always good, like San Diego State, St. Mary's, and Gonzaga get all the teams that like McNeese State, Grand Canyon, which had 30 wins, but they get to play St. Mary's and Gonzaga in the first round. Like, let me see them play a big school. You know, like, we don't want to see them just get dipped by, or at least I don't. Like, I don't want to see them get dipped by a mid-major right off the bat, you know? Like, let me see them play a bigger school or something. But they seem to always do that for some reason.
Yeah, it does seem that way. Another story that I found just fascinating is, so with the COVID year, you know that some players are getting extra year of school. And then if you have an injury, you can get a red shirt. So there is a 26-year-old player playing in this tournament in his 8th college season named Seth Downs. He plays for Howard, and he is older than Gilgeous-Alexander. Yeah. If you've listened to this podcast, you know I can't say names worth crap. But Shay, and he's older than Luka, Jason Tatum, Ja Morant, and Trae Young. And he's playing in this tournament against these other guys who are like 18, 19 years old. It's just crazy. So I'm going to look to see. I just want to make sure like his dentures don't fall out on the court during the game. I think that'd be pretty cool. Pretty just kind of an insane thing there. He was in the same high school recruiting class as Lonzo Ball and De'Aaron Fox, Bam Adebayo, and Malik Monk. Insane. Those guys sound crazy. They're legit vets now.
Yeah, man. Like Lonzo hasn't played an NBA game in like 3 years now. Yeah. You know, and so long that is.
That's just nuts. So that's a cool story too. And you know, the more you watch, the more stories you'll find. Mm-hmm. Pretty much every game, the announcers will be like, "Hey, this is something interesting about this team. Here's something interesting about this team. Here's why you should get invested." And it just makes it fun every time.
So they're talking about one. It's like, well, he worked at Walmart in high school. So, yeah, okay. That's cool. You know? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I don't care about that. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, we all worked at Walmart. Man. What are you talking about?
What a story.
Yeah. But there's definitely some good stories that we probably didn't cover also.
Yeah. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But all right, let's just kind of jump into it. Who do we think is going to be in the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and then the Final Four? So, let's start with, I guess, the East region. Who do y'all have coming out of that?
So in the East, I have UConn, San Diego State, Illinois, and Iowa State.
Okay, so you got that pretty much chalk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that one is probably the hardest bracket. They got Iowa State, who should have been a one seed, and somehow they fall to the fourth best two seed. And then they have Illinois, who, again, they didn't have Terrence Shannon for a while, so that kind of hurt them, and now they just won the Big Ten. Then they have Auburn, who also just won the SEC, and then San Diego State, who, I mean, they were in the national championship last year. It's just, I feel like for a lesser team to come out of there, I would be pretty shocked right now.
Yeah, let's see, the East region, I'm kind of with you. It's a lot of chalk, pretty much. I had Auburn instead of San Diego State, but other than that, it was the same. Now, I think Drake could beat Iowa State, but I don't think they will. But like you said, kind of a, especially since UConn's supposed to be the number one overall seed, like kind of crappy, in my opinion. They got that, like you said, the SEC champion, Big 12 champion. Like, Big 12 champion. Put them to the ringer there.
Yeah. I was pretty close between Auburn and San Diego State. I picked San Diego State just for the rematch. I feel like they'll really want that. And if anyone's going to knock off UConn, I feel like they have a pretty good chance since they'll be pretty motivated, even more so than other teams, I feel like.
I kind of feel like San Diego State might be getting the benefit of the doubt with their 5 seed just from being so good last year. So I've got UConn, Auburn, but then I'm going BYU, Iowa State, because I don't really believe in Big Ten basketball. I feel like when it comes to the tournament, they always underperform. And Illinois has Terrence Shannon, so I guess I'll be rooting for him because he's a ex-Tech guy, but I don't know. I don't also have a lot of trust in him either because I've seen him struggle in some big games. So I guess that's why I'm picking that. Easily could be chalk though. I'm with you guys. This is the hardest bracket. And it as a committee, I don't see how you put all three of those tournament champions in the same bracket. It's kind of ludicrous, but is what it is. All right, I guess let's go down to the West. What do y'all think about the West? What do y'all have?
So I'm still pretty chalk here. I have North Carolina and Alabama, but then I have New Mexico and Arizona. So
okay,
that's
New Mexico. Yeah. So you You think they're going to upset Baylor?
I think they could upset Baylor. I've seen a little bit of inconsistency from Baylor, and I don't know. I like New Mexico right now. I think they're going to be pretty upset with where they were seated. So I think that'll give them a little extra fire.
All right. I had, North Carolina, St. Mary's, New Mexico also, and Arizona. St. Mary's I got in there because last year they – I'm with you that kind of on the five seeds are a little, they're one of the five seeds, but I think they kind of overrated them this year just based off of previous experience, you know. But St. Mary's last year almost beat UConn in the tournament, but their best player got hurt in the game, and so they kind of just went off after that, you know. But almost beat UConn, which ended up winning the national championship. But St. Mary's got a lot of those guys back, so I think they can beat Alabama because. Alabama, I think, can get cold at times just because they kind of let it fly on offense. So they can also get hot, but I think St. Mary's is good enough to beat them. And then I'm with you on New Mexico and Baylor. Baylor, I think, is a little inconsistent, and New Mexico, I think, is getting hot at the right time.
For me, I had North Carolina, and then I have Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon is my pick because every tournament has a 12 seed that knocks off a 5 seed pretty much, and this is the one that I'm picking. I think, well, I guess I'm also picking McNeese State, so, you know, have a couple of them. It's going to be a low possession game, and both teams play real slow, so I think that keeps it at a chance for an upset. Whereas, you know, if one team played faster than the other, you have the opportunity for one to just pull away. I think it'll be low scoring. Both teams are really good at rebounding. It's just going to be an evenly matched game, and I'm with you. I think St. Mary's is a little overrated, so. I got Grand Canyon, North Carolina there, and then I've got Baylor and Arizona there, so that's mine.
And I wouldn't be completely shocked with that. Grand Canyon did beat San Diego State, so I wouldn't be shocked if that happened.
All right, then next we go to the South, yep.
All right, so for the South, I have Houston making it, and I was pretty conflicted on who to pick right here, but I have Duke making it, and then... Maybe a little bit of a homer pick. I have Texas Tech and Marquette.
All right, let's see. Sweet 16 in the South, I've got Houston and Duke, too. I think Duke's been inconsistent, but I think they're just too talented, you know, to get beat by a team that shouldn't beat them. Then I've got Kentucky.
They're playing Wisconsin. Who doesn't
yeah,
win
sure.
Any of the
yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, Big Ten, like you said earlier. Then I got Kentucky and the winner of Boise State, Colorado. Like, I don't think it matters. Whichever team wins that is, I think, going to win the first round game and beat Marquette after that.
Yeah. I think I've got Houston and I've got Duke also for the same reason. I just think they have good matchups there. And then I've got Tech because I'm a homer, but also I think we got a good team if Warren Washington plays.
And Darian Williams.
Well, I guess that's the bigger problem is if Darian Williams plays, but I think he is. I believe he is. I think he would have played.
Yeah.
If
Washington's out of his boot now. So
yeah, if Washington plays, I think we're gonna be good. I just think Darian Williams has been one of the best players in the country literally for the last 2 weeks. So we need him to be good. We need him to be healthy. But if both of those players are in, I think we're here.
With Kentucky, they're just such a young team that being their second team to face, I think, benefits us opposed to being later in the tournament where they might feel a little more comfortable. So,
and then I've got Marquette. Shock is smart is out from under the Texas boot, so he'll spread his wings and fly.
Rick Barnes style.
That's right.
Yeah, it might be a problem.
All right. And then we can go to the Midwest.
So in the Midwest, I have my – least favorite team to watch play, Purdue. Then I have Kansas and Oregon and Tennessee.
Nice. Let's see. All right. I've got Purdue as well, Kansas, Creighton, and the one Texas coach that can win in the NCAA tournament, Texas and Rodney Terry. You know, it's my sweet 16 right there.
Let's go.
Hey, I like it. Have some faith in you, guy.
Yeah, that's a last minute switch. It didn't. Didn't happen until just now. All right, I had Tennessee until just now, but it's happening. The Sioux and A. Smith taking us to the promised land.
Dude, the Sioux was – he he ripped us a new one. I hated playing him. I've got Purdue and McNeese, and I've got Creighton and Tennessee. I like Creighton. I think I'm a little biased too from watching them all as freshmen in person. And then obviously I explained McNeese State, and then Purdue, I don't have a lot of trust in them, but they do have, there's no way they lose to 16 seed back to back. They got a
pretty good
seasons.
Draw, I think.
Yeah.
I agree.
Especially, TCU is tough. I mean, if TCU wins, they have like high rankings in the KenPom. So
like, I'll say I'd almost be more worried about TCU than that third round matchup, you know, for Purdue. Like, I think that TCU, I could pick them off instead of that happening.
I just didn't want to be too much of a Big 12 homer and say TCU are the eighth best team in the Big 12 is better than the first place team in the Big 10. Yeah. But I might actually believe that. I'm just not going to do it. All right. And let's just keep going. Let's knock it out. So who do we think is going to be in the Elite Eight?
So my Elite Eight, I have UConn and Illinois, North Carolina, New Mexico. I actually have Duke versus Texas Tech in the South region, and then Kansas, Tennessee.
All right. I've got UConn and Illinois in the East, North Carolina, Arizona in the West, Houston and Boise State or Colorado in the South, and then Purdue and Creighton.
Hold on, Brady. I'm still trying to. So, did you not have Houston? You had Duke.
I did not have Houston. I think Duke can beat Houston.
Okay.
I think their big guy will give Houston a little bit of problem because against us, their best big guy got banged up a bit, and he was looking a little suspect against Iowa State in the Big 12 championship. And even if he gets healthier, I think Filipowski will have a good game against them. And if he gets going, then they're going to be crashing down. I've seen that kind of defense, and once they start crashing down, Duke has some shooters that can knock it down from the outside 3-point range.
Okay. And sorry, I guess I need y'all to slow down. Ashton, did you have any upsets on yours?
I had Houston versus the winner of Boise and Colorado in the Elite Eight.
Okay. Boise and Colorado going far then. One of them.
Yeah, we'll see if that happens. Yeah. Either or, which probably means it's not happening.
Yeah.
And so, it doesn't matter who wins that one.
I've got chalk in the East region for me, UConn versus Iowa State. And then I'm probably going to have to stick with North Carolina going there. And then I'm going to say Baylor. And then we'll go Houston and
you trust
Shaka? Do I say Tech?
I take them over Shaka.
I picked them.
Yeah, let's go trust
Shaka to take them to the promised land.
Let's go.
Yeah, it played out perfect for you. You get a Shaka matchup there.
Yeah.
Honestly.
It's honestly not an insane thing that could happen. So
it's not.
No, there's definitely a path.
I'm not even a Tech fan. I'm like, y'all throw it. I'll be honest. It's a possible path. I'll be real with you.
That's crazy.
I think the biggest one is the Kentucky game, round two. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're all hard. It's March. You never.
It's
know
all hard. Yeah.
And I had y'all won in the first round until an insider told me y'all had so many injuries on the bigs.
Yeah, we do. We've got literally we had one guy leave the team. We had one guy get
better
season
go walk on,
ending
go
injury.
Stop Burns.
Then we had our other guy who's been out for half the year. Yeah.
Go use your ninth year.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine me going against Burns? That
coach.
Dude would just absolutely.
Just pull the chair. He's going to go flying.
Oh, my goodness.
He can't keep up with you.
Hey, you might have an unreal amount of charges in that game if you try.
Yeah, throw Slider out there against him. He always tried to draw charges against me when we're playing. Guard somebody else, please. I'm just trying to have some fun over here.
Or it's a pickup game.
I'm not that good. I don't need you guarding me. Okay.
And then Hollywood. Okay, the last one I have McNeese State against Tennessee. Final four. Let's hear.
How much is Will Wade paying you? First off, for McNeese State
Will
coach.
Wade. Hey, listen, we don't have to talk about that.
Okay. Yeah.
I just think it's crazy to turn around a team like that. You know, like you know, they all believe that they're never going to lose.
So my final four, I have Illinois beating UConn. I have North Carolina beating New Mexico. This is to get there, sorry. This is their matchup to get there. And then I have Tech beating Duke, and then I have Tennessee beating Kansas.
All right. Who is that? Sorry.
So I have Illinois, North Carolina, Texas Tech, Tennessee. Sorry, I said that in a weird way.
All right, let's see. Final four out of the East, I've got Illinois. Out of the West, I've got North Carolina. Out of the South, I've got Houston. And out of the Midwest, I've got Creighton.
Nice. Creighton. All right. So for me, Iowa State versus North Carolina. Houston versus...
So basically, right, what James talked
about Tennessee, they have never made the Final Four. So if you want to keep them out, you have every right to. Yeah.
Oh, this is the year.
Know that.
Tennessee's never made the Final Four, and Purdue has not made the Final Four under Matt Painter. So,
so that's your Elite Eight matchup, probably. One of them's got. There's your storyline. So pretty much what I gathered from that is North Carolina's not making the Final Four because we all picked them. That's probably what's happening. Yeah,
man, they just they got good players, man. Saint Mary's, experienced baby. Players. I really think
What they were on that team we watched, like the Armando Bacot and RJ Davis, like they were
when they were not expected to be good.
When Brady so Manning like, saved their butt, you know.
But, yeah.
Well, that was the one I think it was San Diego State. Like all the players that were on that team last year.
Yeah.
They were up by like 30, and Brady Manning got tossed, and they just choked it away, and it went to overtime. That might have been the most entertaining game I've seen. Like, just like, if I was a North Carolina fan, I would have been pissed. But I think they tossed him for nothing. Like they act like he elbowed somebody, but it just tanked completely after that.
That was a good game. Who do y'all have winning the whole thing?
So I have Illinois making it, and I'm gonna have Tennessee make it this year. I like both those teams, and this also might be a little bit pulling for Terrence Shannon, but I think he's one of, if not the best player in college basketball. And so I have Illinois winning it all.
Oh, yeah. All right. Who do you got, Ashton?
Let's see. I've got Illinois beating North Carolina, and then I've got Creighton beating Houston. And I guess we're going to make a last-minute change here.
Did you have Illinois? You can say Illinois.
I've got Illinois beating Creighton in the championship.
Almost assuredly means that
they
won't.
I think Shannon and Hawkins are too good. And they've got a Dumask or whatever his name is. So can light it up.
I purposely didn't watch any of your video so that I would not pick the exact same stuff as you. And here we are.
Good thinking.
Here we are.
Good thinking.
You're definitely the most knowledgeable here. So you picking the Illinois.
It's probably it's I usually don't, I don't even usually win my home bracket. So, you know, it's not happening.
Sometimes in these brackets, it is a curse to know too much because you know nothing.
You overthink it.
How the stats say it should. Yeah. Well, I'm going to say I've got Houston and North Carolina. I've got a boring matchup of one seeds, and I'm going to say Houston wins it. I really believe in Houston. This year, they looked like the big bully. I felt like their defense is suffocating. It was better than the Tech team that made it to the championship, and they had the best defense ever until then. So, KenPom era, they had the best defense, and so now it's Houston who has the best defense, and I really believe that defense travels, and so I think they're going to do it. All right, so we got two Illinois and one Houston. We'll see what happens. I'm excited. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Gonna be fun.
It is. Ashton, do you want to dip while we talk about Tech, or do you want to stay on? And
yeah, I'll let y'all talk about Tech.
Revel in it. All right.
I'll let y'all talk about Tech.
Sweet. Thanks for being on. Hey, everyone watch his videos. Ashton. AG. I'll put a link below, but this dude knows his appreciate stuff. You. So
yeah, join the bracket group, by the way. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got a bracket group too. Going. Yeah.
Free
AG
t-shirt.
You're giving out a t-shirt.
Free AG t-shirt,
so,
baby.
Heck yeah.
That's right.
Oh. Heck yeah.
I'll see y'all.
All right, see
you, man. Go Illini.
Oh, man. Well, if you stayed this long and you want to just hear us rant about Tech, I really appreciate it. Otherwise, feel free to skip to the end. Thanks for listening. But, Brady, since we're Tech fans, let's just talk about how great this season has been under Grant McCaslin. Like, even if we don't live up to the lofty standards we just laid out for us in this tournament bracket, like,
right.
Holy cow, I thought this year was going to be bad, and it has been a lot of fun.
So Tech fans, you've heard me talk about Tech before. You know, I'm highly optimistic every time about our expectations. I really didn't know what to expect. I was on the few people that thought Grant McCaslin was a great hire. I feel like there's a lot of people that felt like he was a safe hire, or I heard a lot of people didn't like it. And I was excited because I watched his team play at North Texas against Oklahoma State specifically. That's the game that I watched, and I was like, man, I didn't know what to expect, and I really liked what I saw there. And so I was really excited for the season. I didn't expect us to be as good as – I don't really know how to put this, but as good as I felt at the beginning of Big 12 play, if that makes sense. I think what we ended is kind of where I thought we would kind of have our ceiling at. So in my opinion, we kind of got best case scenario of a year, but
I was going to say, yeah, for sure. It sounds like you, at the beginning of the year, what you were about to say is when we were in first place in the Big 12, right before we were about to play Houston. And it was like, holy cow, we might be the best team in the Big 12. Is that what you're going to say? And so then we had to readjust our expectations back to where they were and realize how great things are. But yeah, for a minute
that's
there,
exactly where I was heading.
Yeah, for a minute there, we were like, oh my goodness.
I was even more like, how in the world did we get Grant McCaslin to come here? Like, this guy is the best coach in college basketball. Our team is about to be 2019 all over again. We're going to the national championship. I don't know. I was on top of the world at that point. I didn't hold any of the losses early on against us because we were trying to find ourselves as a whole new team, like just trying to gel. And I was like, we gelled and here we are at the top of the Big 12. Like, this is incredible.
I would say that at the beginning of the season, I was just glad that we had a team that looked like they were a Division I basketball team because of the just the dire straits our team was left in, and Grant McCaslin getting hired late because he took that North Texas team to win the NIT. It was like, okay, we have to scramble to get a roster together after so many guys had already been poached. And this, he has not only got talent, but he's built the talent that was here. So like Kerwin Walton last year at times looked like he couldn't even be a D1 player. And now he's like one of the most efficient offensive players. He plays amazing defense. He's fun to watch because he's so efficient. You know, he's dealt with injury. Devin Cambridge, who is supposed to be heavily relied on this year, getting hurt early. Sucks for him, but, you know, our team has rebounded. Warren Washington getting hurt. But when he's played, he's been great. He's been better than I thought he was going to be. And that's good because he's like our only big man. Robert Jennings at the beginning of the season, like the improvement from the beginning to the season to where he is now is just like astronomical. Again, he was a guy that almost felt like you couldn't put him on the court because he was a liability. And now he's really filled in that spot and like held it together. He's not been an all-star by any means, but he's held it together to where, you know,
and
we've been able to win
big games.
He has.
Yeah,
he's played
games
well.
Where it's like, like really, really happy of his development.
Joe Toussaint being a guy coming in, like, what did he average? Like 8 points, like 2 assists for West Virginia. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything spectacular. And he's come in and at stretches, he's like early in the season, he was winning his ball games by himself. And I was like, who is this guy? And he's been pretty good. He's up and down all season. And sometimes he seems more out of control than he is. Like he'll drive to the paint and I'll feel like he doesn't know what he's wanting to do with it, but he's just still been really, he's been a really consistent senior leader for this team that, you know, has been a surprise at how good he's been. Like he's really been solid. Chance McMillan coming in and being a sniper. And also like he's super athletic and a good defensive player. He's basically our fifth starter, even though he comes off the bench. He really had a good case for being sixth man of the year and would have probably won it in many years if they didn't have that BYU guy popping off. But I mean, it's just this whole team up and down. Darian Williams has been, he's been a revelation. As soon as Warren Washington got hurt, he's been so good. He's been one of the best players in the country. I think I said it earlier in the podcast. Yeah. So it's just like guy after guy stepping up. I mean, it's been a really fun season. I really appreciate it being fun because this is normally like if Tech basketball's not good, this is a dry spot for sports. But boy, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been a blast to watch, and our leading scorer you didn't even mention, Pop Isaacs. Yeah, he was wildly inconsistent last year. And at the beginning of the year, I thought that he had found some consistency. And then he went through that long just stretch of like, Pop, just get one of these to fall. Like, he's, I don't know.
He was still shooting.
He had a streak of like 1 for 24 or something. I don't know. Something crazy.
Yeah.
And that hurt to see, but how he handled it, I think made him a better player because he was still shooting his threes. But in those games where he was like 1 of 5, 0 of 4 from 3-point range, eventually he started driving. And now I love when he drives. I think he has really good layup package. He's gotten a lot better at assisting, I feel like, this year. He's just become more of a guard opposed to just a
volume scorer.
Yeah, volume shooter. Mm-hmm. And so I've been really happy with his development too. And he could not have gotten out of that slump at a better time.
Yeah.
Now we're going into the tournament and I'm like, okay, we can trust Pop to shoot again. But yeah, I've been super happy with him. Going back to Joe Toussaint, I have really enjoyed watching him play. My biggest issue is I wish he'd be more aggressive sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes he just disappears, and I'm like, dude, you don't really love driving to score necessarily, but you can drive against pretty much anyone. Just get in there and make them collapse, and like he creates plays when he does that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many games where I feel like he misses a couple of shots, and he kind of just fades. And I'm like, I love when he scores, but you don't have to score to really help this team. You just need to drive. Like, you need to drive and create something.
Just keep getting by your guy. I guess my point earlier was he'll drive without purpose, get in the lane, and get stuck there.
He needs to drive with the idea of scoring. I agree.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah. He goes in and he does that little pump fake in front and then comes behind. And I'm like,
he's been caught with travels because he keeps that plant foot, but he doesn't know where he's going to go with it.
Uh huh. It's like you either got to commit to doing the fadeaway shot there,
which he's pretty good at.
Yeah, he is. That's what I'm saying. That's part of the aggression that I want. Like, I want him to take that shot if no one collapses. And that's when he starts to have the turnover problems, is whenever he does that, no one collapses, he didn't shoot the shot, then he's just like spinning in a circle. Where is somebody?
Yeah.
And so I think what I mean by aggression is he just needs to drive and feel confident enough in that fadeaway shot if no one collapses to help on him.
Yeah. What else is there? I say the Kansas game has been a lot of fun. Like, that might have been my favorite time of the season. Darren Williams just had a legitimate perfect game where he did not miss a shot and scored 30 points and had 10 rebounds. Like, just an absolute monster on the court. And, you know, if we can get that guy, even anything resembling that guy in the tournament, there's a chance that we can really make that run that we were talking about. I hope his ankle feels 100%.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, a few more things I'll say is, in order for us to make a run, I think he is maybe our one NBA player on this team. And so we need him to play like that. And he's done it at times, but, you know, we're going to need that. And then also, this season, I think, was the most fun in a while because our offense was scoring points and our offense was moving. I really loved how Grant McCaslin is not stuck in his ways because he was known as a defensive coach who liked a slower tempo, but he saw the players he had on his team and said, no, this is a fast-paced team that's going to shoot up a lot of threes and just play offense heavy. And our defense has come around, but for a while we were winning games based on our offense, and that's just not something we've done. So that's been a lot of fun. And then also, I think he is the best inbounds play coach that I've seen at Tech. Like, I always am excited coming out of timeout because I feel like we're going to have a play drawn up that is going to give us a great look at the basket. And that is something I really enjoy. Like, that is such an easy way for a coach to make a stamp on a game, is to have good inbound plays out of timeouts. And he does. And it's fun. It feels like we have an advantage there a lot of times.
Yeah. I feel like that's a huge part of coaching that sometimes gets overlooked. Those plays are, I wouldn't say as give me as a free throw, but if you can come up with good plays out of timeouts, it's almost a gimme because, like, the defense doesn't know what's coming at them. And so I agree. That's awesome to have. And not just even out of timeouts. He has plays that are designed that he can just call them. And I feel like we get tons of quality shots off of those too. So it is really fun to see. And as a offensive minded basketball player, I love it. I've enjoyed watching our strong defense in the past, but in those games where your defense is a little suspect, it is very painful because you're just like, we cannot score and they're scoring on us. Some of those games just weren't fun to watch.
Like, there's something about going on a 10-0 run when your team is just knocking down shots. It just feels so good to watch, and I'm sure it feels so good to play, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's dive into the tournament. What were you going to say?
This first matchup against North Carolina State, we talked about it a little bit with the Oregon having the hot hand off of their tournament. I think this one's different because, like I said, they don't have the injuries that have helped them come back and win that tournament. I think they just got hot at the right time. The time in between that tournament and this game will probably cool them off. And so I'm not too worried about the hot hand situation. I'm just excited. Honestly, I'm excited to watch North Carolina State play too. Their team is pretty
I hate that we got matched up because they were
I agree. That's a team I was going to cheer for just because the big guy, and
they've got some scores too. I think Horn is his name.
Yeah, DJ Horn. He actually was at Arizona State with Warren Washington, and that's kind of a cool story for those guys anyways, DJ Horn and Warren Washington getting to play against each other. But I don't know. I just think it'll be a fun game to watch, and I really look forward to the tournament because of what you were saying about the season. It's just been a fun time.
It's weird to play in the tournament and feel like I'm just happy we're here, but I really am. Just I think it's been a fun year. I'm happy we're here. I want us to win, obviously, but like Graham McCaslin gets an A from me. Like what a great first season. Way to battle injury adversity, like mold your team to their strengths, play in the hardest league in the country and get fourth place. I mean, getting two byes in the Big 12 tournament. Awesome. Like it's just really impressive stuff. So, all right. Well, thank y'all for listening. And as always, like and subscribe. And if you've gotten this far, I really appreciate it. I hope you enjoy the tournament as much as we do. And until next time, later.